lot of young people these days are suffering through depression, self-esteem issues, feelings of unworthiness, and it is emotional pain. And sometimes they even feel like God's not there for them anymore. And Christians feel this way too. So my question today is, how do we cope with pain?
Well, first of all, we want to address that that God is love. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Jeremiah 31:3. We should be able to quote this without even going there. Because this was one of our memory texts. Jeremiah 31:3. Stephen, can you read that for us?
Okay. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee.
Here he says, God says, I love you, and I care for you. That God is not hateful or careless or forceful. Mm-hmm. God, and we know that we sometimes might question, why do sufferings happen? Why let God these sufferings and pains happen to my life? And I know it's really hard to say it to someone who is going through pain, but I think the one thing that I could tell them is that because God wants to teach us how to depend on God, or we need to depend on God, He wants to teach us that we can't do it by ourselves. Whatever it is that we can't do by ourselves. And you know, something that we do, we depend on our feeling. We move and we think depending on our feeling, and that's something that we shouldn't do. We should depend on what God says. Like here, He says, I love you, I care for you, I'm here for you. So we cannot, oh, because I feel depressed, because you know, I feel a certain way, mm-hmm. that I want to ignore what God is saying. I want to ignore what Word of God is saying, and that is not something that we should do.
And that is how Satan tries to deceive us, by implanting those thoughts in our mind, making us think that, you know, God isn't there and that God doesn't love me. Mm-hmm. That is all the work of the devil.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't matter what people say. It is, you know, even if people say to you, oh, you're ugly, or, oh, you're weird, it doesn't matter, because God is still loving you continuously.
I think Satan doesn't directly come out and say to you, you know, you're ugly, you're unworthy, mm-hmm. you cannot go to heaven, you're not Christian, or you're not pretty. Especially for women who, you know, have, you know, self-esteem issues, or, you know, that worthy issues, if they're worthy or not. It doesn't matter what other people say. Satan might use other people to bring you down, but it doesn't really matter what other people say. It doesn't matter, and also it doesn't matter how you look like, how much you weigh, how smart you are, like what you got on your grade, or what college you're going to, if you're good at any particular sports, if you're popular. Those things are all significant, I'm saying.
Insignificant,
thank you. Those things are very nothing. If we go to book Ecclesiastes, the author of the book Ecclesiastes is Solomon, and this book is that about how Solomon in his youth he was with God, and he was known as a very wise Jewish king. Mm-hmm. However, as he sinned, he committed sin against God and committed adultery against God, and as he was doing that and he kept forgetting what God's commandments was, he was drawing himself away from God. But what Ecclesiastes is about, as he became old, he says, vanity, all is vanity. He say everything is insignificant, mm-hmm. under the sun. That's what he says. So even though he committed lots of sin, that he knew that God loved him, mm-hmm. and that we need to love him back. So, mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't really matter, like, what you have done in the past. It doesn't really matter what mistakes you have made. know, Solomon has made many mistakes and whatnot. So, but he finally went to God and he says, it doesn't matter what other people say, it doesn't matter what you have done, God loves you, and that's what you have to matter the most. Is what matters is what God thinks of you, if, you know, eventually.
Mm. And you know, like, all those negative thoughts of depression and thoughts of unworthiness, those are all thoughts of Satan. And Satan, he works through his agents, his own people, to lead some people into depression, in that state of despair and melancholy. But you know, oftentimes people actually enjoy that kind of feeling. They enjoy being sad and gloomy and depressed, and it's kind of sad to see that.
Yeah, what I actually have noticed is probably all of us have been in a down state where we are feeling down and depressed, or maybe in some movies or something that we watch may get us in that kind of mood, but then you don't exactly want to put on the cheeriest music. There is sunshine in my soul today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're down, you don't want to hear those things. A lot of times you play blues or something that's very minor key, and something that's kind of a depressing song.
Yeah.
It kind of feeds on it, but then that's common nature.
Yes, but I don't think it really helps us get out of the depression.
Yeah, it
just makes you go deeper into depression, and you feel worse, and you feel, you know.
And you start to depend on your feelings
more.
Yeah, and
I mean, you, in that time, I think you like the music. You like that kind of music. Oh, this kind of, this feels good, but at the same time, it's not really getting you out of that depression.
And I think a part of it may be also that we want self-sympathy. So I feel sorry for myself, and I'm going to just sulk and go into my little corner and feel sorry for myself kind of feeling as well.
Mm-hmm. And like a lot of young people are having problems with depression, and depression often leads to suicidal thoughts. And I just wanted to pull up some statistics to you guys. Right here, teenage suicide statistics are a part of these numbers. Rates for ages 15 to 24 in the US are 7.9 per 100,000 people. So there are 31,000 suicides a year in the US, and it is the third leading cause of death in people 15 to 24 years old.
Wow.
And worldwide, nearly a million people commit suicide every year, more than those murdered or killed in wars. Global annual teenage suicide statistics reported for these fatalities could rise to 1.5 million by 2020. Now, this is showing you how real the situation is and how amazing this is. And, you know, also, whenever someone completes or successfully commits suicide, during that time, there were 25 other attempted suicides in this world. That's how common it's becoming. And it's so sad to see that Satan is working so, so well in this way.
I have to say that nowadays, young people really focus. They are really good at focusing on their feelings. And then just depending on it, go like, I don't know what's the exact term for it. Mm-hmm. They just go deeper and deeper and deeper into what they're feeling about and what their feelings is. And they don't want to snap out of it. They don't want to get out of it. And they're so easily give up. They're like, and they don't know the worth of a life. And they don't really appreciate their life and appreciate what's going on in their life because they have no purpose, really. Mm. They don't know the purpose.
And I want to just share a Bible text showing you how God is not happy with suicide, how it is not biblical at whatsoever. And let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 17. Ecclesiastes 7, 17. The Bible says, "Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time?"
Oh, wow.
We each have a time in this life. We each have a purpose for this life that we have to fulfill before we can die. And, you know, God is saying right out there, why are you being foolish? Why are you trying to die before mm-hmm. before your fulfillment. Mm-hmm. And also, we can go to Job 7:15-16. Job chapter 7, verse 15 and 16. It says, so that my soul chooses strangling and death rather than my life. I loathe it. I will not live always. Let me alone, for my days are vanity. Some people would rather die than have life. But I wanted to point out that, you know, we mentioned a lot of people like to be in that state of depression. But there are people out there who don't want to feel like that. They don't want to feel depressed all the time and have suicidal thoughts. And oftentimes, they're yearning for God, but they just don't feel His presence.
There have been times, like, we've discussed sometime about certain guilts that people have, and because that they have not been able to overcome, I've heard of many situations where they actually come to the point where they commit suicide. And it's not that they enjoy it, it's not that they really are focusing upon the guilt, but then they want to get out of it. They want to feel guilt-free, but they don't know how to. I've experienced sometimes in my life, and perhaps lots of people have as well, where you're just really, really struggling, and you're wanting to know if Jesus is there. And it seems as if, you know, you're just crying out and saying, God, are you there? And it seems like whenever you pray, your prayers don't go any further past the ceiling. Just, what's the point? And sometimes it's very, it can be very tricky in knowing if God really is there with you or not. You know, and the Bible does even say, it goes so far as to say that whosoever turneth their ear from hearing the law, even their prayer shall be an abomination. So there are certain prayers where God just will not listen to, and there are times in my life where I felt like, have I reached that state? God, are you really hearing me? Because I'm really dying here. I really need to hear your voice.
Yeah, I remember that your favorite, one of your favorite book is Jeremiah, because Jeremiah, who was, you know, suffering and who tries to tell his people that, you know, like, get ready and try to prophesize and tell this, you know, message from God, but they wouldn't listen. Rather, they wanted to kill him. So he felt depressed and he wanted to kill himself, right? And then you get encouraged by hearing that story because, what was it?
Well, the thing about Jeremiah was that he was so discouraged to the point where he eventually said, no, I'm not going to preach in this name anymore. I'm not going to speak in this name anymore. And he decided, I'm going to quit my occupation as being a prophet. Nobody's listening to me. You sent me and you promised me that... No, he didn't say that he would promise him that they would listen. But then he did promise him that he would be with them, with him the whole time. But sometimes he just... Yeah.
To God, reveal God's presence.
Yeah. God, why are these people rejecting the message that you gave me to bear? And so he said, I'm going to quit this occupation. I'm not going to be a prophet of the Lord anymore. But then when he decided that he was not going to speak in God's name anymore, the Bible says that he couldn't contain himself. And he just felt within himself that he just had to go out and preach. And it was like a fire in his bones. And I think that's one, perhaps maybe we're not feeling that kind of depression, but we may know of certain people who may be in depression. I can testify and say that perhaps the best remedy for depression actually is going out and reaching out to other people. Going out and doing some outreach, because you're taking your focus off yourself and placing it upon somebody else.
Yeah, because... Like I said, nowadays, young people, they don't know what to do when they're depressed. So that's why they listen to those musics, because those musics are provided, and they watch those movies or TV shows and whatnot. That just, you know, gives them more depression mode, I guess. And for some people who say, you know, they're crying out for God's help. But God, are you really there? But they really just don't see God's presence. They don't feel it. They sometimes become angry with God. I often see that. And then, however, anger does not heal your sufferings or pain. Like, I want to tell people that rather, I think being angry with God, something that you might have to, you know, admit or do is that first you have to admit that you're hurt. Some people just not want to, like, you know, deal with the fact that they're hurt. They're like, mm-hmm. God, okay, this happened, please cure it. So they're not really kneeling down before God and saying, God, I am hurt. These things happened, you know. Can you please help me? Sometimes they just don't want to, you know, deal with it. They don't want to admit the fact that they need help.
But sometimes they don't want to feel the, realize the pain that they're feeling. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. they just want to avoid that fact and mm-hmm. say, I'm okay. This yeah. is not bothering me. This is mm-hmm. not influencing me. Mm-hmm. I'm fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the actual reality is they are a lot more pain than they think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then by doing that, they're deceiving themselves and deceiving the others. Mm-hmm. And as the time goes on, it gets worse and it gets worse. So I have to say, God really knows what's inside of you. Only God does. Mm-hmm. You can, you know, you might have your best friend or your parents or whoever, husband or wife, there are certain things that you cannot tell your husband or wife or your parents or your friends, best friends. But you can always tell God everything because mm-hmm. God already knows everything about you. But it's just that God wants to communicate with you. You have to communicate with God. You have to admit that you're hurt. You have to admit that you need help. You have to surrender to God. So we have to go to God. And there's a one verse that that I want to mention. It's Psalm 46, verse 1. Let's go to Psalm 46, verse 1. It's a, Stephen, can you read that for us?
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Verse 1, that's it?
Yes. Okay. God is our refuge
and strength, yeah. A very present help.
People always think it's cliche, like, oh, if you have a problem, go to God. God is there to help you. People think that's cliche, and they're like, mm-hmm. I've been to Him, I've done that, it mm-hmm. hasn't worked, blah 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 blah. Wow. And you know, sometimes it's cliche because it's true.
Mm-hmm.
God is our refuge. He gave us that promise.
Mm-hmm.
If kind of think about it. God is our best friend, and God can't tell anyone what you're going through.
Mm.
You know, you have that assurance first.
Oh,
point.
Wow.
God can't tell other humans what you're going through. Yeah. If you're embarrassed of something, that you are going through this pain, God won't tell anyone.
The secret is safe.
Yeah. And it's God. Just, you can just let it all out because God will only listen to you.
Mm.
And He won't directly say anything to you until... you know, the time is ready, but he won't, like, rebuke you. He would just listen and accept and comfort you. And sometimes, even for me, if I'm upset, if I talk aloud and I say everything inside my heart loudly to God, it just gives me relief because it's like all that burden, all that grudge just releases.
Mm-hmm. What is that verse that all my burdens are lifted up to you or, you know? That, you know, I think even Jesus said, like, you know, give your burdens to me, lay mm-hmm. your burdens to me, you know, don't take it upon yourself, don't stress it out, mm-hmm. you know, so.
You know, one thing that when people pray to God,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people have a mindset of getting the answer right there. They want a quick answer to solve their problem when they pray. They think, if I pray, it's going to be solved just like that. But the reality is, it's not going to. God mm-hmm. is going to make you wait for it and mm-hmm. make you struggle, make you have that willingness to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He's waiting for you to take the first step,
mm-hmm.
and then mm-hmm. He's gonna, you know, go yeah. by with you.
We focus a lot of times on the fruit, like overeating or you know, just being tired and all that, and we just get mad at the person because, you know, why are you like this? Mm-hmm. When in reality, there's something deep inside that they need to take mm-hmm. care of, and mm-hmm. that's not quick and complete just like that.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a microwave society where everything is done just like that. You want to know something about some information, you go to Google and type up your search, and mm-hmm. your information comes up right there.
Mm-hmm.
And we think oftentimes a cure can be just like that as well,
mm-hmm.
when in reality, it's much, much of the time. It's like you may have an open wound where the skin just covers over, but still having the dirt inside. Mm-hmm. It's still infected and it's covered over. And it seems as if it's okay because the skin covered over, but you know deep inside it's still infected. And unless
it's like more rottening
exactly,
down there.
It's getting worse and worse the more you leave it there. But mm-hmm. what actually God does is God has to take the time to cut that open, and cutting mm-hmm. that open takes process, and it mm-hmm. takes a lot of time to actually for that to heal.
And it causes more pain.
And yeah. people will have to genuinely face that pain and say, you know what, this is real. This actually took place.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's something, it's an important subject that you have brought up, is that because if we go to God, once we go to God, we admit that we have a problem. And once we go to God, God wants to redeem us. Let's say we made a mistake. Let's say, we did something wrong and we feel unworthy. We feel very filthy. We feel down and very depressed. However, God wants to redeem you. So as long as you admit and you come for help to God, that God wants you to be the man who you want, or man or woman who God wants you to be. So God's purpose for you on earth is to change to have an image of God. Mm-hmm. And that's, yes?
Time out. I want to just emphasize, we were talking about coping with pain, about depression and suicide, and how that is a work of Satan. It is a deception of God. But, you know, this is a real emotional pain and suffering people go through. And it sounds cliche, but it really works. Go to God and give your burdens to Him. He is willing to listen to you. And that suicidal thoughts are not biblical at all. That's mm-hmm. all Satan's work. Mm-hmm. I want to emphasize what we just brought up right now, that our purpose on earth is for us to become the man or woman that God wants us to be, mm-hmm. to build our character into the image of God. Mm-hmm. That's our purpose, and until that's fulfilled, it's foolish to want to give mm-hmm. up your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and going back to what you said about, like, some people say, I've done that. I've went to God, mm-hmm. But God did not do anything. It didn't work. Like, maybe what you did was wrong. The steps that you have taken was wrong. Maybe mm-hmm. you have to, really rethink what you have actually done to go to God. Maybe you did not admit that you are, admit or fully surrender yourself. And having to understand what is really fully surrendering yourself to God, that's a very, I don't know, sometimes even I question myself too as I'm praying, Lord, this happened and I surrender all myself to you, and please heal me, please solve this, please answer my prayer, because I'm just surrendered to you. But sometimes I question, did I really surrender myself? And I look back and then look at the things that I've done, or look at the things that maybe I have to fix, because mm-hmm. a prayer is not being answered or something. So do you guys know, like, what's the meaning, the full meaning of, real meaning of fully surrendering yourself?
Mm. I think I would have to say that it is trust. Mm. It would have to fall down to being absolutely trustful in Him. Mm. When we think of people who are in a lot of pain, mm-hmm. many times the reason why they're in pain is because they had something traumatic happen in their lives. Mm-hmm. They were sexually abused. They had somebody touched them the wrong way. They were emotionally abused. They were verbally abused. And because of the childhood hate that happened to them, as they grow up, eventually it just they completely forget about it, and they completely forget that it ever happened. Mm-hmm. It's been said that something about 30%, one-third of women in this world have been sexually abused, sexually mm-hmm. Molested when mm-hmm. they were young. Mm-hmm. But then I think actually that number is a lot higher, and some people even say that it's actually probably more like 50%. Mm-hmm. And these people, when they address the fact, when anybody talks to them about the fact being sexually abused or whatever, they don't want to deal with it because mm-hmm. it's painful, it hurts. Mm-hmm. And what ends up happening is that they have a distrust, and some of them just have absolute distrust for men, mm-hmm. particularly. Mm-hmm. And eventually comes to a point where they don't want to trust God. Mm-hmm. I've tried this before, it didn't work, and you know what? It didn't seem like you really cared about the situation anymore. You allowed it to happen, and I could do a much better job at taking care of myself than you can. So, mm-hmm. you know, forget this. But then what really we will have to do is we have to trust God. And what that means is giving the sword into the hand mm-hmm. of God and opening up yourself and saying, you have the power. You have the power to hurt me, but then now I'm going to completely trust in you.
But I think that's kind of, that's a problem that, you know, those women or those people have, because they've been hurt because some way they were betrayed. Mm-hmm. You know, they were betrayed, and that was a problem of all things. And then now you said the surrender, it has to do with the trust. Mm-hmm. Now, because they were betrayed, I think many people have problem having to trust someone or trust something again. Maybe that's why many people have a problem fully surrendering themselves to God.
Mm-hmm.
We have mentioned the purpose of life is to have a, you know, image of God, and God does not heal you instantly. It's a process. As our characters are changing to have an image of God, healing, like, just like how that's a process, healing, I think, is a process too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some people, some Christians deal with problems like this. They spend many hours on Bible, you know. They mm-hmm. spend many hours on Bible and thinking that, oh, if I just read Word of God, then it's going to heal, or it's going to, you know, it's going to fix everything. However, they need to actually address the problem. It's mm-hmm. It can be painful, and it's something that you don't want to deal with, but you really have to open up what really happened. They need to, because the Bible is not just designed for a feel-good session, you know. Mm-hmm. It's for a deep heart introspection of comparing yourself and your problem to Word of God. So mm-hmm. you have to really open up and then see, like, oh, this is what happened. Mm-hmm. And you have to admit that it really happened to you. And, you know, this is something that I need to help with. I need help with, because it is affecting me emotionally. It is affecting me, my relationship with other people. And I can't trust anyone. And I can't trust God in most cases. And that's why... even though the Bible studies, like, you might feel that, oh, I feel good, I have the Holy Spirit, I'm secure now, you might feel that way. If you do not in the right process, that's not going to really work out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as you study the Bible, you feel more woefully inadequate that, oh, I am inadequate. Like, you feel very unworthy. You might feel like, oh, I'm a sinner. You know, it's kind of, they say, like, you know, as you read Bible, it's kind of like looking in the mirror, because mm-hmm. you see the reflection of you, who you really are. However, as you see yourself, you also realize that, oh, God really loves us too. Even though I am like this, the Bible clear says God still loves me, and Jesus died mm-hmm. for me, even though I look like this.
Mm-hmm. We should never feel like... we are unworthy that we are unworthy to have life. We are unworthy to live in this world.
Mm.
Obviously, God brought us into this world in the first place because we are worthy. We are, we do have a purpose.
Mm.
And people often like to intertwine the definition, the meaning of worth and value.
Mm.
Worth is just your opinion. You think you're worth this much. You think that's worth this much. But our value is what we really are worth.
Mm.
For us, for every human being, the value of each individual is God's own life, His dear begotten Son's life for us. And if we just keep remembering that, you know, sometimes you can break down and be like, realize how much God really does love us
mm-hmm.
and He really does care for us. There's no need to compare yourself to someone else, to mm-hmm. think that, oh, I'm not as better than this person. That just brings you... that makes you depressed. That's mm-hmm. how Satan works through you, making you compare yourself to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But if we always have our eyes on Jesus and of His love that He has given us, then we can't have those thoughts anymore.
I don't think you should, what's the right expression? You should not, you know, set a line to how much you're worth or how much, how valuable you are.
Because your value is worth Jesus' own life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So because there is no value you should look at or worth you should look at yourself. There is no other way to explain this. Mm-hmm. Your value, your worth is Jesus' life.
Yeah. And we ask the question, you know, I don't feel like that. I don't think that's true for me. But truth is, you're not the one to tell yourself that's what you're actually worth. God has done that for you without your permission. And so your value is actually is just as much is to value as the very life of Jesus, regardless of what you think, whether you feel like it or not.
And it doesn't matter just because you feel like you're inadequate and you feel like you're worthless. It doesn't matter because in the end, it's okay. In the end, it's okay because God is the one who loves you. God is the one who says, I want to restore you into my image. So, and that's a story, that's a beautiful story of redemption, you know? So it doesn't really matter what you think. It's really not about you, you know?
And, you know, some people, like, they've gone through this depressing state and they really feel like God isn't there and they just forget about God. They live on life. They live on trying to depend on their feelings for other stuff like drugs, suicidal thoughts, and they are just in this complete, very depressed state. And the reason why you might be feeling that emptiness, it could be the Holy Spirit talking to you, being like, have you forgotten my love? There is something greater out here. It's not, this world isn't the end. You still have my love. You still have our plan to fulfill of you to be in the image of God. And that empty feeling, really, if you rediscover Jesus' love and you rediscover how great God is, it will automatically just, the emptiness will go away and you'll be just filled with abundance.
Yes. Like we said, you know, through your sufferings, through your pain, God wants to walk with you. God wants to bind with you, you know, have a more closer relationship with you. And even though we said, like, you know, God knows everything about you, we still need to depend on Him moment by moment, because it is for our salvation. You know, it is for our salvation, and it is to overcome sin and overcome whatever our feelings and whatever we are going through, that it is to overcome that. So to gain victory, I think we need to remind ourselves, we need to depend on God. We need to always constantly communicate with Him, have a constant communion with Him. And so I want to tell those people who are suffering and who are struggling because of their self-esteem issues or self-worth issues, I want to tell you that you are fearfully and wonderfully made.
And that there is a purpose for everyone.
And there is a purpose for everyone. Do not focus, do not depend on your feelings. God loves you and He died for you. And now, not just about the story of a cross, now He's a living God who can live inside of you, who wants to abide in your heart and lead you to heaven in the end. So don't, you know, not, we do always, you know, focus on, oh, Jesus died for us, you know, this, you know, like the cross and everything, the Calvary and whatnot. But also what could be important for today, nowadays, Christian, is that God is a living God, you know. God can live in your heart right now. You know, of course, if He died and resurrected again, He's in heaven, but He can be also here with you. Don't always, you know, forget that.
Yeah, as we are looking at the topic of coping with pain, it's a little bit of an uncomfortable subject and an uncomfortable topic, because not many of us actually want to deal with the real issue, because it's really painful. There have been times in my life where I just felt a complete emptiness and lack of, lack of purpose in life. And sometimes I would even feel mad at God, because I didn't choose to be in this world. You know, why did you put me into this world? I never had this freedom. And if I had this freedom, you know what, this pain is so much more more painful than anything else. I would just prefer rather not to have been. Mm-hmm. But now I have to deal with the situation of I'm in this world and I'm suffering through this, and you never gave me the right to be in here in this situation or not.
Mm-hmm.
And we point the finger at God and say, God, why are you allowing this to happen? When in reality, the only person who can help us is God. I remember hearing this story of a woman who was working late at night, and she looked over at her watch and saw that it was 2:00 in the morning, and she's like, oh wow, everybody is probably gone. She peeked outside the window and saw that her car was the only one in the parking lot, and then she said, okay, now I need to go home, and she packed up all of her things and went inside of her car, but as she got inside of her car, she was the only car. Her car was the only car out in the parking lot, and she eased on onto the freeway, and at 2:00 in the morning, all the cars are just not there, and she was just alone going out on the freeway, when all of a sudden she sees a headlight from far behind, and this headlight is coming closer and closer, and eventually the headlight comes right behind her, and it's actually a tractor trailer, and I don't know if you've ever had a tractor trailer following close behind you, but it's actually a very uncomfortable feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So she decides that she's going to actually step on the gas and go faster a little bit further, and surprisingly the tractor trailer is right on her tail, continues to follow her right behind her. And she says, okay, maybe I need to slow down. And so she slows down. She comes down to a crawl and going below speed limit. And the tractor trailer is just still right behind her, just 10 feet away from her. And she's saying, okay, this guy is really creeping me out. This guy is after me. And so I need to get away from this guy. And she came up with that escape plan. She knew that there was an exit off to the next exit, and there was a gas station right there where she could make a phone call to 911. And she said, okay, at the last minute, I'm going to jerk my steering wheel and go over to cross this exit, and I'm going to run away, and hopefully I'll lose him. And she jerked the steering wheel, and at the last minute, she went into the exit and went up to the crossroad. And the tractor trailer followed from right behind her and never skipped a beat. And so she said, okay, now I'm really, really scared. And she's ran over to the gas station where she was trying to make her phone call. And as she was trying to come out, she tripped over her, she forgot to take her seatbelt off, and she tripped over the car and fell down, and as she was trying to get up, she saw that the trucker was actually coming out and running towards her direction. But as he was coming towards her direction, she just kind of tried to cover herself up, and eventually the man ran right past her, went to the back seat of a car and opened the door and pulled out a man from behind her back seat with a knife about that big.
Oh my goodness.
Trucker, from the perspective of where he was, saw that there was a man in the back of the seat, and he was the only one who knew what was actually taking place.
Mm-hmm.
When in reality, the woman was running from the only person who was able to save her.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, that's the case with us, with God. We are running from the only person that is able to help us,
mm-hmm.
because we have self-security issues, because we have trust issues, mm-hmm. and we really don't want to trust God. And it's painful to allow God to actually open your heart and allow God to take a stab at you if he really wants to. And all those fairy tale stories of, God who is loving, God who cares, almost seems like you can't believe it, because, if God, do you really care, then why would you allow this to happen to me?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a painful process to be able to allow God to have full access to your heart and say, okay, now I trust you 100%. I know you did this because you love me. But it is a painful process. But until we take that painful process, we're not going to be healed. It's like that wound that healed over, that dirt that's causing the infection. Unless you allow God to take the knife and to cut open that wound again and to take the dirt out and cleanse it with alcohol, with hydrogen peroxide, things that is going to hurt the wound, you will never come to a point where you feel like you are healed. Mm. But it will require that painful process in order for you to actually come to a point in your life where you will be able to 100% trust in God. Mm. But as we are closing up, I just want to emphasize to anybody and everybody who is experiencing pain, it is a difficult process, and it is painful. And sometimes it feels as if God has forsaken you and He is sleeping. Mm-hmm. But I read in a very, very great, excellent Bible commentary on the life of Jesus Christ. It was actually the number one recommended book in the Library of Congress. And the author says that in the moment that we feel that God is the furthest away from us, that is exactly when He is nearest. Mm-hmm. It was when the disciples were crying out for God in the boat while the storms were tossing to and fro that they thought that God was sleeping. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, the rest of the story, Jesus wakes up and He says, you have little faith. Why don't you still believe? It takes a little bit of trust in our part to be able to know that when we place our hands in the hands of God, that He is going to take care of us. And it seems rather cliche. It seems rather, I've heard this over and over, but it's
it is rather true.
Yeah, it is still nonetheless true that when you place your hands in the hands of God, this is the same God who was able to say, "Peace be still," and He calmed the waters. Mm-hmm. If He can calm the waters, if He can control world events, then this is the same God who is able to take control of our lives. Mm-hmm. Same God who is going to be able to lead us into the way everlasting. Mm-hmm. So this is something that we may actually feel ourselves, the pain that we may feel ourselves, but it may also be pain that we see in others, our friends. Mm-hmm. But let us not forget that it's be sensitive to the issue that and this is a real pain, and this is something that really does need to be dealt with. Mm. And when we do face these situations, we need to lead people to Christ. Mm. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me.